go. Here we go. Here we go.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1.
Live.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Movement for Life podcast.
We talk about ways that keep us moving throughout our life.
I just hit my knee. I'm JR.
And I'm Colby Christofik.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here.
We're alive.
Yeah.
We're doing things.
So today, we are going to share with you a previous episodes that we have already recorded. And the topic is food, snacks, and just kind of going through different diets that we've had in the past and just talking about overall healthier eating choices.
And some vices. We talked about some vices as well.
You did, yes. But before we get there, let's talk about things that we've done to move in the last week. Colby, I'm going to let you start off. What are some of the glorious things that you've been doing this past week in order to keep that top physical shape that you're in?
Yeah. So last week, I ended up snowboarding on Tuesday and Wednesday, which we kind of talked about on Monday. I was on my way there. So I ended up doing 7 hours on Tuesday, 7 hours on Wednesday of snowboarding. Got back Thursday, did not really sleep well. Did my first like little CrossFit workout on Friday. And then I did our team workout on Saturday morning. But my body still has not recovered. So I use a Garmin watch to measure kind of my sleep, my training readiness, my recovery, all that kind of my heart rate variability. According to my watch, I still have not recovered from that week. All of my metrics since the day of the marathon have kind of like dropped and are slowly coming up, but they have not. I worked out. I took Saturday after that on Saturday morning, took the rest of Saturday off, took Sunday off, worked out a little bit on Monday in the group class. And then yesterday I did a little bit of training as well. We had some exciting news. We had PRs this week, or we had a test week.
Yes.
I did not PR my bench press or my back squat this time around. Yes, which is a bummer because I put in a lot of work, but it happens. I think that it's okay that I did not PR. I could definitely feel that my body is not in prime condition post marathon and snowboarding to try to be attempting some PRs. I did go for it. If I didn't feel safe, I had a spotter on my bench press and I feel very good bailing on a back squat, I wouldn't have tried it. It's crazy how much that's made a difference on my performance. Cause
you
I do think
from
that I am
Friday doing the last open workout, Sunday, 2 days later, you ran a marathon.
Yep.
And then you went snowboarding for 2 days.
Yeah. On Tuesday.
All within like a 5 or 6 day period. Yep. So it just snowballed. Like, I like how I use that pun. It just like becomes bigger and bigger. And does your Garmin show a strain or a percentage, or how is it calculating?
Yeah, it shows a couple of different things. It shows like a workload. It shows aerobic capacity. It shows body battery and training readiness.
Body battery.
Yeah.
I like that terminology.
How you're feeling throughout the day. And post that Wednesday, like basically from when I finished the marathon, my body battery didn't go above 20 out of 100.
Yeah.
Until like Saturday of this last week.
Were you eating a lot more food, or were you eating less even when you were snowboarding?
Oh man, I was eating two meals for like almost
per sit
every
down.
Meal. Yeah. Yes. And the
snowboarding
was,
makes you so hungry.
The people I was with were like, are you okay? Like, why are you eating so much food? And I'm like, I am just so hungry right now.
I get so hungry when I'm on the mountain.
So I was eating a lot of food. I was definitely not going hungry at all. But yeah, so it was low on my training readiness. My training readiness has been in like the 20s and 30s. Today is the first day that it's actually been up a little bit higher. It's in like the 60s as far as training readiness goes. Going into the marathon or going into Friday Night Lights, I think I was like a 97 or 98.
Great.
Which I was like, oh man, I'm primed and ready to go. And it's been in like the 20s and 30s since then.
It'll get back.
Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of what I did. What did you do?
Okay. Last week I did very consistent with my training, you know, just coming in and every day doing mobility and the Metcons and a lot of strength because we have quarterfinals coming up. So my body is feeling really strong after I recovered from 24.3. It took me a good 3 days, probably like a rough 3 days, like yeah. Rough, R-U-F-F-F, rough. I feel really good. And so I'm noticing that my kind of trajectory is moving up again as far as like the weight I'm able to lift. And the training has been pretty intense this last week. I've also been running. So I ran a couple miles yesterday and last week I ran twice as well. And I need to get back in a pool and start swimming. That's another goal. So hopefully this week I'll be at the pool and I'll swim at least once. And yeah, I've been feeling really good.
Great.
Physically. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you might have made some different choices that might have been better for you than I did.
I didn't have a choice. My body made the choice for me. I didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't. It wasn't really in my. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you kind of talk about what our episode is about today before we go there?
Yeah, we got a fun episode talking about some different diets that we can think of, some of the different stuff that we've tried, stuff that maybe works, doesn't work, what we think, like personally, what we've tried for each of us. And then we kind of talk about some different vices that each of us have as well. Kind of fun. Maybe you can guess what we say for each of them. And with that, we know we'd love to invite everybody. We're going to be doing a performance nutrition challenge starting this weekend.
Yes.
We'll put a link down in the description for this. If you'd like to be a part of the challenge, Coach Sam Ellison will be leading that challenge virtually for us. So you don't even have to be a part of our gym space to participate in this. We'd love to have you participate with us, be on our online leaderboard, be a part of our weekly challenges, earn points, and see if you can get some results.
We have a QR code we can share, correct?
Yep, a QR code and a link as well.
Yeah,
both okay. of them.
So in the show notes, we'll drop it in. And if you're interested, at least look at it and kind of see what it's about. And maybe it'll be something that you would like to join.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Let's get on to that episode.
All right. I hope you enjoy this episode. And that's it.
One of the hardest things about nutrition is there's so much information. So I kind of want to just start today and talk about, hey, how many different kinds of quote unquote diets can we name? Can we name 10? Can we name 15? Could we name 20? Let's see how many different ones we can name and we'll keep it on our fingers. So we'll try to alternate. You go, I go, you go, okay. I go, you go, I go. Okay, go.
All right. So the first one I have is the South Beach diet. Do you remember what that is?
No. What is South Beach diet?
Okay. So there's like three different phases of this. And it's basically like a modified low-carb diet. And I think there's like portion sections. So you have like phase one was for like a couple of weeks, you'd eat three meals with a couple snacks. And it's like lean protein, high fiber veggies, low dairy, limited carbs and fruits. And then you had like the second phase, which is like the long-term weight loss phase. So if you had like a specific weight you were trying to get to during that time, I think dieters like, follow like same basic rules of phase one, but then they really limited the portions of fruit and grains. Oh no, the second phase was when you were allowed to have a few more fruit, grains, and then alcohol was allowed. And then there was like a third phase, which was like, once you got to your goal weight, it was like a maintenance phase, which was basically like the principles of the earlier stages. So they'd have carbs filtering in and out through there. But for the most part, I think carbs were really villainized in that. In that bad.
All right. That's called South Beach Diet.
The South Beach Diet. That was like super popular in the 80s.
Cool. I'll do one that's fairly gained some popularity in the last 10-ish, maybe a little bit more. Keto, right? That's a very popular one that we hear all the time.
Yes.
Which is more or less just very high fat, low carbohydrate to no carbohydrates whatsoever. I think actually following a keto diet is extremely difficult. People think they might be doing a keto diet, but they actually are eating way too many carbohydrates to more or less be in ketosis or actually on a keto, what would be considered a keto diet. So I would say most people are doing a keto-ish diet, right? Where they're doing low carbohydrate with high fat.
I mean, how do you sustain over a long term doing something like keto?
I think that's the idea of this entire piece here of what we're going to talk about is most of the things that we're going to talk about are going to be extremely difficult to maintain over long-term types of things. But give me another one. That's two.
All right. We're going to go with the Atkins diet, popularized in the 90s. Do you remember what that one was?
I think that was also another low carb diet. Like, is that right?
It like limited a lot of the plant-based foods. So like, one of the biggest drawback to that was like, are you getting as much minerals and vitamins that you really needed? But like veggies, beans, legumes, grains, they were really restricted on that diet.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, you're up. What's up?
So that was three.
Three.
Let's think of another one. What if we went with something like zone diet?
Ooh, yeah. All right. Refresh my memory with that one.
The zone diet is built off of blocks, and it was on a 40-30-30.
Yeah.
This is what a lot of early time CrossFit endorsed, the zone diet, because it was one of the more measurable diets that you could do. It was very easy to measure, and it was 40% carbs, 30% fats, 30% protein. And it was more of one of the goals to be a balanced diet, more or less, where you would create a block and then you would build your meals based on blocks.
Right.
And I think the maybe drawback to that was playing with, okay, what kind of combo of percentages of macronutrients was going to work best for me. Right. All right, that's four. Give me another one.
We got to go with paleo. Obviously, that's like the one that I think is probably most popular with CrossFit individuals, also known as the caveman diet, where we're really just eating like lean meat, veggies, fruit, basically nothing processed, no grains. Well, no processed anything that came after the... What is that? The
Jurassic Age?
Yeah. Well, there was another. It's just like, I remember when I first heard about this diet, thinking it was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. And I would say of anything that we've listed so far, which I've never done, I did adhere to the paleo diet for a while. And so I have some experience with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
But it's basically trying to stay away from as many new quote-unquote new foods, right? Just as much whole foods as you possibly can. Maybe I'll jump right on top of that one. Five.
Okay.
Isn't there something called a carnivore diet where you're almost all
raw meat.
Eating meat?
Yeah.
Is it raw meat or is it cooked meat?
Yeah, there was actually one that I saw. It wasn't called the carnivore, but it's called the raw food diet. And it's basically like eating raw food. And then fruits and veggies as well.
Raw fruits and veggies, not cooked fruits and veggies.
It says you can have a little bit of cooked, but it really is like into that raw.
Mostly raw food.
Yeah.
Cooking food really allows us to, it's a lot easier for us to digest food once it's been cooked or heated. So raw food makes our body work so much harder to digest food. And I think that's the idea behind that one. Carnivore, then you talk about raw food diet. What about something like intermittent fasting?
Yes. That's like the 5-2 diet, right? Like
there's several different versions of it. But the idea is there's some period of or window of time that you're not eating, and then there's some period of time that you are eating. I did intermittent fasting for a while with my lifestyle. I liked it because I'm a lazy person. That's not true. I'm not a lazy person. I'm a busy person.
You're here first, folks.
I'm a busy person. So I would forget to eat a lot of the day. Then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I would eat a very large meal, and that would be my only meal. Or maybe I would eat, a dessert or snacks after that as well. The very, very hard part about that, it was extremely difficult to build muscle, and it was extremely difficult to feel good in workouts. Because you're almost always in a fasted state, so you're not feeling awesome inside workouts. Doing CrossFit, I wasn't making a lot of gains during that. It was as much as I could maintaining. Is that eight of them?
That's eight, right there.
All right, can we make two more? Can we get to 10?
Yeah. Okay, so I had to pull up my list now that we're getting down to some that most of the ones that I remember have been named. There's one called the macrobiotic diet, and this was popular like in the 20s and 30s, and you eat different things based on gender, age, location, and existing health issues.
Huh.
That's interesting, right? It focuses on restoring balance and calm within the body.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, a little footnote in there. It says, steer clear of any and all potatoes, peppers, tropical fruits, tomatoes, caffeine, alcohol, added sugars, and processed food. What else is there? Fish, dairy, and eggs and poultry are all okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's
I'm remembering one. I don't know if it had a name, but wasn't there a phase of time that was it was low fat diets? You could eat like super high carbohydrate, low fat diets. That was the way to go. I don't remember if that ever had a name though.
I don't remember, and I don't see that particular one on the list that I'm looking at, but that definitely
I remember that being really popularized because of a lot of like endurance athletes.
Yeah.
And endurance athletes, like, they did so well when they were eating that high carb, that 60-70% carbohydrate diet, because they were exercising for 4, 6, 7 hours a day. But when we suggest that sort of thing to a population that's not exercising 5 hours a day, they might get different results than that endurance type lifestyle.
Yes. Well, I mean, that was 10. That's lot.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, have you done particularly any of those that we listed?
The only ones that I really have experience with are intermittent fasting. I did a keto-ish diet. I definitely don't think that I was restricting my carbohydrates enough to actually make it considered a keto-ish diet. And then the one that I adhere to the most is not one that we talked about. And I don't think it wouldn't be considered a fad diet, but it may be closest to a carnivore or a paleo type of thing. What about you? I guess you kind of said that.
Yeah, just paleo really is the only thing that I've done. I liked it. I mean, I thought that for me particularly, that it kind of restricted drive-throughs as an option. You know, I had to think really specific. And something that we didn't talk about, which isn't necessarily a fad diet or a diet, I think that falls within what we consider a diet, is I was vegetarian for about 2 years. Mm. And the only reason I did that was absolutely trying to cut out like fast food. And because there was very limited amount of things that I could go, within like a salad and outside that kind of scope. Now, yeah. I mean, now this is like 20 years later, there's so many places that have like impossible burgers or like, you know, there's more of the vegetarian options, but back then, no. So it was a great opportunity for me to like one, not spend a lot of extra money going through fast food. And then I was only going to do it for like 3 months and it ended up being something for 2 years. I tried being vegan for a little while just because I kind of made it into this fun game for myself. How long can I do this? And then I needed to put on some weight and muscle and I knew I had to have more protein and eat more food. So I stopped doing that, but I didn't do it for any other reason except as an experiment. Yeah.
Cool. Maybe that's the segue pretty great into the next question is like, hey, what do you feel like has worked best for you? And what's something food wise that you struggle with?
So as far as what works best for me is none of those work best for me. What works best for me is when I really was able to sit down with a nutritionist and kind of go off of like what my specific body needs for protein and carbs and fats. And so I try to now at this point, you know, I weigh about 145. So depending on what my weight is, if I'm up to like 154, 155, I'll go anywhere between like my protein intake will try to be between like 165, 170 to 190. And then I just try to stay within like 50 grams of fat a day. And then just like there's sometimes when my carb intake is like 300, 400, and sometimes it's a little less, but I just kind of stay within that. And for me specifically and what I like to do as far as training and the busy schedule that I have with work, that is what's been my main focus is just a specific macro breakdown that, you know, a nutritionist was able to provide.
Cool. What about nutrition stuff that you struggled with? Maybe you would call them like vices or things that you're like, oh man, I always come back to this and I gotta,
you know, I really in the past have never really struggled that much with any cravings, but recently I would say in the last 6 months or so, I think I've had developed a sweet tooth that was never quite there before. And so that's been, I think that was like emotionally based, you know, I was kind of use it as comfort food, which again, I didn't ever really look at food. Like I really feel like depending on the family that you come through, like eating was not a big thing in my house. So we did not sit down and have a lot of meals together. Me always doing my sports. I was eating in the car on the way there or coming back. So my family didn't have that like emotional attachment to sitting down and eating. We would eat together sometimes, but if you come from a family where food becomes really part of the family, I feel like, you know, those people are more likely to have comfort food. But for me, my relationship with food was always like, I got to get that nourishment in. What about you? I mean, have you talked about your vices before with me? I think maybe you have.
Probably. I share it quite a bit. The thing that works best for me, it really depends on my goals and again, just like you, sitting down with a nutrition coach has been the best way for me to like decide, okay, I want to do this. What steps do I need to take?
Yes.
Okay, I want to do this. What steps do I need to take? Because things do change in different phases of your life. And so in a phase that I'm not really focusing on building or growing, more like a maintenance phase. Some sort of intermittent fasting is what I enjoy doing. Hey, I want to have a window, but I still want to be able to hit some certain macronutrients, which is what that coach helps me do. And that's typically centered around protein because intermittent fasting, you don't want to be just eating your muscles away. And then the other thing is a high protein where I don't really focus on my fat intake or carbohydrate intake, but only focus on, hey, how can I get some more protein? When I do that, I'm able to feel good in my workouts. I don't get as sore. And I'm able to like build muscle and make improvements inside my workouts. Last 6 or 7 months, that's been my focus is a little bit of building, where I've only really focused on, hey, am I getting enough protein on a daily basis? Am I not getting enough protein on a daily basis?
Sure.
So that's really what works best for me. A lot of the other stuff, I'm like, hey, can I be hitting X amount of protein on a daily basis? Vices. I feel like I've got two vices, and one of them I talk about all the time. And I love donuts. Donuts are my favorite.
What?
I went through a phase in college where I was being super cheap. I was coaching at the time, but I was like, I don't want to spend any money on food, but I want all these calories because, you know, I'm working out 2 a days.
Right.
It was just post-college. So I would buy a dozen donuts that were on sale for 99 cents and I would eat them a day. I would eat six of them like in the morning, then take a freaking sugar nap and then
crash.
Coach in the afternoon and eat six more donuts for dinner. And it was 4,000 calories and it was probably the worst thing that you could probably do. Every single time I would go to the checkout line, I'd be wearing my CrossFit coach shirt.
That's
like,
hilarious.
He's like ringing me up and she's like,
all sugar, no protein diet here, like, folks.
Is this for you? And I'm like, yeah, it's really cheap. She's like, I don't know if this is right. And I'm like, yeah.
You know, it's not right, but it's oh so good.
And so at some point I did with myself a dober. I went dober for a year.
Okay.
I kind of made a bet with some friends. They're like, I bet you couldn't do donuts with no donuts for a year. And I called it donut sober. I said, I'll do that and I'll try it. And I went entire from that day. I went an entire year without donuts. Probably better for my health that way.
Probably, yes.
It was after those first few months, it wasn't that difficult. I should have been making better health choices.
Did you have withdrawals?
I didn't. No. What I did do mostly though, it was avoid donut sections, right? I wouldn't go to the donut stores. I wouldn't go to the donut section. That way I wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
So I still do love donuts, and on a decently regular basis, maybe once or twice a month, I go enjoy some donuts. I go to a donut shop.
Nice.
Donut Delight in Simi Valley.
Yeah.
Oof, man, best donuts you'll ever have.
Nice fluffy donut.
Yes.
But you mentioned there's two. What's the other one?
Yep. The other one that I like catch myself on often, I feel like, is alcohol. Alcohol is something that, like, man, they can add up significantly. I'm somebody who's like, at the end of the day with dinner, I like to have a beer or a glass of wine. And more often it's a beer rather than a glass of wine. And adding that up, okay, if I have one beer, maybe two beers a night with dinner, and then, you know, one of other day throughout the week, I go out to some restaurant with friends and get a couple of drinks as well. You're like, wow, I've had 12 drinks this week.
Yeah,
like that's adding a significant amount of caloric intake that has no nutritional value for me. It's not adding anything as far as fuel goes for my body. So I think being cognizant of how much alcohol I'm drinking on a weekly basis makes a really big difference for me and how I can perform in the gym and just my overall body composition, soreness, recovery, things like that. That seems like I only had one or two drinks, but if you look at it over the long term, they really do add up.
Yeah.
Those are my two.
Well, when we're going and we're talking about our vices and then we're having folks, our clients come to us. I mean, we know what it's like to have cravings and we know what it's like to struggle sometimes with our nutrition. What is like some simple advice that you give your clients, or what advice would you give our listeners to consuming food?
Yeah. Food is something that you can't really avoid, right? You have to eat it. It's a requirement. Sort of like breathing, sort of like drinking water. We got to do it every single day. Most of my advice centers around trying to keep it as simple as possible. And there's been, in my opinion, there's been two pieces of advice that have really stuck. One's from Greg Glassman from CrossFit, and one is from Michael Pollan,
okay,
who's a big health and wellness space writer. And CrossFit's simple advice is eat meat and vegetables, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. So that's keeping it as simple as possible. And then Michael Pollan's advice is eat real food, mostly plants, and not too much. Those two things are like the simplest advice I give to people. I also talk about nailing another healthy habit before going to food. I think food is a really difficult, there's a lot of hormones that are involved with changing food. And oftentimes we feel bad or like negative feelings when we change food. But if I add exercise as a healthy habit, exercise also has hormonal changes, but most of those hormones make us feel good. So if I can nail the healthy habit of exercise first and then add food 3 months, 6 months down the road, I'm able to like compound my effects, improve my lifestyle significantly. What about you? Do you have a piece of advice that you give people?
Start small. Like, you know, like you're going to really struggle with taking a lot of things out of your diet or replacing them all at once, and small little things that you can do that are going to set you up for success versus like going hard and going big and only lasting like a couple weeks. And really, like in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, everybody should be able to have that donut when they want it. They should be able to have that drink when they want it in moderation. So like if you're a person who struggles with moderation, you know, pick one thing that you know could improve. And we've talked about this in previous episodes. If you drink a lot of soda, let's go down to one soda a day and then make it like every other day. Don't just like, I'm never going to have another Coke again, because if that's part of your life, like how do you, how are you going to be able to justify with your mind on those days when you're like, oh, I just need that. And I then have a little bit of it. And then as you become more successful and you feel better, I mean, the results are what's going to keep you wanting to stay at this whenever, oh, I actually feel better because I only drink now two sodas a week or whatever. So start small. And then from there, as you get that success and that feeling of success just propels you forward, then add something else or make it more, make it a little, that small one turn into something bigger.
Love it.
Yeah.
My one piece for everybody is try to add things, not take things away.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And by adding things, you may find that other things fall out because there's no room for them.
I love
that. That's my one piece of advice for everybody is try to add something instead of trying to take something away.
And that is something that I personally have experienced, because when I started adding more protein, it was filling me up. So I didn't really crave other things because I was getting all that protein in me, and I was like, I don't need dessert now. I'm already full. So that's a great tip. Then where do like our people start when they're wanting to make a change? Like what's a good first step?
I think that is a good first step is, if you're not ready to work with I think nutrition coach is honestly the best first step.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
Yeah.
If that's within your financial means, like you're going to get the best results that you could possibly get is talking to a nutrition coach. Even a consultation with a nutrition coach is going to give you so much valuable information. But then a lot of times we need the follow-up with the nutrition coach, because if we learn things and then not held accountable, but if that's not something that I'm willing or ready to do, I'm going to say, start with adding one thing and write it down, and say, hey, maybe even stick it on your fridge.
Yes.
Add X every single day and do it daily, whatever it is.
Yeah. I think the constant writing it down every day, like I have my fitness journal and every day I put eat more protein every single day I write it in, or like something that I did in the past that some people think is so stupid, but it worked for me. I had sticky notes and I put them on my mirror in the bathroom. So I'm looking at that every day saying, okay, as I brush my teeth, I wash my face, that goal is like right in my face, and it just helps keep it in my mindset. And it really did. It helped me a lot.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
All right. I know this is our last question here. I know we got some questions about supplements.
Okay.
And then when I talked about this, you were like, I've got some actual questions for you. So I'll defer to you first, and then if there's anything else we want to talk about, we can get to it.
So let's talk about CLA pills. So I have members that have asked in the past, like, you know, if I take the CLA pill, like it's supposed to help like block the fat or help me lose weight, like pros or against, because I do know that in the circles of bodybuilding. You know, that's something that a lot of folks that are looking to do a show, that's something that's part of their supplemental package. But then others who are like nutritionists and stuff, like, that's a bunch of BS. Like, it doesn't help. So what do you say to a CLA?
So a CLA is going to have very little scientific backing for like the uses that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The CLA, I think, is most often used in treating like a high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's been like a side skirt of like, oh, maybe I can use a CLA to lean myself out or to lose a little bit of weight. For everybody else that's listening as well, CLA is called a conjugated linoleic acid. And so there's not enough, if we're going to talk about like scientific evidence, anecdotal right. evidence, there's not a lot of evidence for the use cases that we're talking about, like in the health and fitness realm. Not to say that there shouldn't be more research done. I'm sure that there's probably going to be more research. The more that you can find a different use for a drug, and I don't think it's a drug per se, but there's going to be a swap on the use cases, then there's going to be more researchers that say, hey, I'm going to do some research on this topic as well. But right now there's not a lot of it.
Okay. I usually say no, it doesn't work.
Okay.
That's my answer when people like ask me.
Yeah. There's not a lot of research on whether or not it works or not. So
would you say that a lot of the products in something like a GNC that's saying it's like a shredder or like that kind of stuff, like it's all about the same, like there's not a lot of scientific data to back it up?
Yeah, there's really three ergogenic aids that have been scientifically proven. One of them, I'll let you guess.
For fat loss?
No. Ergogenic aid means a performance enhancing.
Oh, okay.
Aid.
Well, they're steroids. So,
very well known inside the scientific realm that it works. It also has negative side effects,
sure.
which is why it's typically not used and illegal in most circumstances for like competitive fashion. It's not an illegal drug, but if I'm going to try to compete at a high level, it's usually a banned substance.
Wait, let me keep guessing.
Okay.
Creatine.
Creatine is a mix of 50 in the scientific world. Like half of the studies say that there is an increased effect and half of the studies say that there is not an increased effect. So I'll give that a 0.5 of my three.
You got people who are like super pro creatine. Definitely. You got to take creatine. You got to take it.
Yes.
So one,
there is effects. Whether or not it is performance enhancing is the scientific question.
Oh, gotcha. Because like the psychological effect of what we think we're getting from it, like a placebo.
Could be a placebo, or there could be actual physiological effects that are not improving performance. Like I could have a bigger muscle because of it, but it's not actually improving my performance for something. And that's what they're looking for in performance-enhancing drugs or ergogenic aids.
Okay. There's one more?
Yeah. There's one more half point and there's one more full point.
Well, if I'm staying along the idea of how steroids help, maybe SARMs. Is that considered the same as steroids, though?
Is a SARM an amino acid?
It is definitely illegal, and it's performance-enhancing. Allegedly,
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, that'll be under the same realm as anabolic steroids. Yeah. Way simpler than what you think. We consume it almost regularly.
Like protein, whey protein, love.
We consume love. Love it.
I don't know. I give up. What is it?
Caffeine.
Oh gosh.
Caffeine is a proven ergogenic aid.
Drink right here. Okay.
Yep. And then the other one is BCAAs. Same with creatine. That there's 50% of the studies that say BCAAs, branched chain amino acids,
yes.
Improve performance, and it's really recovery.
Yes.
And then half of the studies say, hey, we've seen no significant effect on
that's
BCAAs.
That's also one of those that I hear a lot of folks either it will help, or like I've heard nutritionists say it's not worth your money. And it's interesting how we have two different like camps that are so like, this is how it is.
Yes. And I think at the end of the day, if you're talking with a nutritionist, they want you to eat food. They don't want you to eat supplements.
Yeah.
And so supplements should stay just that. They should stay as something that supplements your food. If supplements are becoming your main source of nutrients, like we're moving in the wrong direction. So I think that's why a lot of nutritionists probably say like, hey, it's not worth it for you to do this. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. It's like, we want you to be eating whole foods first before we're talking about any kind of supplementation.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That helps. That's great information for our listeners. All right.
Love it. End of the day. Do we want to end with anything fun or do we want to just cut it?
I think that was fun. I got a little guessing game in there. Yeah. I mean, I think that this is good information for everybody because we all have those questions about, you know, those things that are that when we go into like a nutritional store like GNC, like they're trying to sell us all this stuff and they're like, this is great stuff. Yeah. But most of the time, folks, if it seems too good to be true, like it's just going to do the work for you, then it's probably not true. Like you got to put in the work. You got to be able to really know what you're putting in your body. And at the end of the day, everyone deserves to have some indulgence, but just keep it in moderation.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest takeaway is like the fitness, the nutrition, the exercise, the lifestyle, there is no easy way. Like you got to do it. It takes the personal responsibility. It takes the work. And if you're willing to do the work, the results are incredible. So
yeah,
if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. I love that. It
probably is. It's not going to come in a bottle, folks. Awesome. Cool. I had fun this week.
Yeah, me as well. That was great.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
We'll see everyone next week. If you liked us, like the show, rate us, share it, read the show notes, make a comment. Let's hear if you guys want to hear about anything else. I'm more than happy to talk about some different topics that you guys want to hear about.
Yep. We will see you guys next week. Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1, 5.